This looks like a tough job for these two boys. Neither of them is older than 16, but together they take care of more than 20 cows. Every day they are responsible for making sure the cattle get enough grass and water here in Plateau State in central Nigeria, a region that is also called the Middle Belt. Idris Abdullahi Bayero is watching them.
Well, my name is Idris Abdullahi Bayero. I am a Fulani man. I am a graduate of history and international studies.
Years ago, the 29-year-old who studied at the University of Jos was just like these two boys. He lived with his family in the bush and moved around with cows, calves and goats. Even now that he lives away, he enjoys going back to the countryside to get in touch with the rural communities in which he grew up.
Yeah, well, to me, I look at it as a dual experience. Experience of the rural life, the bush life, and experience of the urban life. Actually, me, I'm a person of change. I believe in change. I believe in modernization. You understand? So I want these people, my people that are there in the rural settlement, should be also modernized, should also be educated.
Education is one of the main challenges facing these communities. Traditionally, the Fulanis are nomads moving across Western and Central Africa. Though most communities now live in more permanent settlements, these are still often far away from schools or other facilities like healthcare centres. Idris thinks he's lucky. When he was a child, members of the community supported him to go to school. To continue to university, he had to use his own cows. Cows are not only the Fulani's pride and joy, they're also their bank.
Well, actually, the cow that I have, I sold a lot of them. Anytime they want me to pay, anytime I want to pay school fees, I'll go to the village, I'll go to the bush and catch one of them, take it to the market and sell it. We have the cattle market in Bukuru, we have in Jos here. That's how I pay my school fees. Yeah. Even though I don't want it to be like that. How I wish I would have get something where I can get income and leave my cattle to keep, you know, propagating.
Life has not been so easy for 20-year-old Mariam Mohammed. She was only able to attend school for a short while before she became the mother of two small children. She lives in a small settlement an hour's drive away from Jos.
My problem is I was born here, but we are not given equal rights. They don't want to see me on this land. And the government is doing nothing about it. The government is supposed to look into this problem and treat us as equals, just like any other person born here. But we are not treated equally. They don't want us on this land. I was born here, but I don't know why they don't want me to be here.
The young woman is angry. Angry about the lack of infrastructure, which has long been an issue, but also about the negative image the Fulanis seem to have acquired. Farmers have always mocked the Fulani because of their way of life and their enthusiasm for cows. But in the last couple of weeks, the slurs against the herders have become much stronger. Fulani terrorists are words found in many Nigerian newspapers. The Voice, a daily in Benue State, writes, for instance,
armed Fulani militia last Wednesday killed three persons in Gweri local government area of Benue State.
The term is also often used in talk shows like Sunrise Daily, which is broadcast by Channels TV.
Welcome back. Now, Mr. Naji, what is the import of declaring these herdsmen terrorists? What effect will that have on this matter?
Since the beginning of 2018, an ongoing conflict has really stepped up, resulting in hundreds of deaths. These clashes started years ago, but now both groups are armed, and so the anger is spilling into killing. Most of the local media calls the Fulanis the perpetrators. Idris fears that an already unequal situation can only get worse.
This stigmatization, or the stigma itself, will actually lead to serious animosity between these two, you know, conflicting parties or groups. Because Fulani will begin to look at other tribes as their enemy. They will become more radical day by day.
And that frustration at being blamed for the whole conflict could result in young Fulani becoming easy prey for bandits and actual terrorist groups, says Idris.
You see, my cow is rostled, I may be killed, or my brother has been killed, nothing is done about it. In fact, they start looking at the state as their enemy too. So from there, the terrorists will take advantage of that and convince them, use them.
That's an aspect a lot of people forget, especially when talking to Christians in the Middle Belt. They accuse the Fulani of spreading Islam southwards and starting a jihad against Christian communities. Still, some Christians firmly disagree. One of them is Blaise Agwom. He's a Catholic priest and head of the Dialogue, Reconciliation and Peace Centre in Jos. He's very much alarmed by the latest developments.
Because of this stigmatization, there are places where a normal Fulani youth cannot enter now, because they have been described as Fulani terrorists. But not all of them are terrorists. There are a lot of good and peace-loving Fulani people that cohabit peacefully with their local communities or neighbours.
Father Blaise organises meetings and workshops for young people from different faiths and ethnic groups and is sure a peaceful life together is still possible. However, he has one piece of advice for young Fulani.
I feel one of the ways is for the young Fulani generation to also get friendly towards the media. They need to tell their own story. As I said, unless you tell your story, nobody will tell it for you. So they need to rescue themselves by using the media to change the narratives.
That's exactly Idris's goal. After graduating from university, he's still looking for a job. Meanwhile, he walks around in Jos and tries to convince as many people as possible to join him in opening up about the Fulani way of life. The stigmatization of young Fulani doesn't help anybody, he thinks, and his dream is to use education as a route out of these problems, just as it was for him.
Like me now, I have this dream, I have this campaign. My own priority is how can I take education to the doorstep of my people. Because they are the most backward, they are the abandoned people, they are the most isolated people. Government doesn't care about them. Since government doesn't care about them, they don't talk, they don't have people to talk on their behalf. Now I'm their representative. I will be talking on their behalf.